Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Healing class. Let's just pray. Father, you have a word for us this morning. And we invite you to speak to our hearts. Pick out anything in our heart that gets in the way of receiving our healing or being able to minister it to anybody else. Help us to see you in every page of the word. So we invite you, Father, just to bring your word to life this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, I got a question for you this morning. This class may or may not be a place where you're at presently. It may be. But it may be a possibility of a place you may be in the future. So it's going to be beneficial for you in either circumstance. But my question is this. When it comes to healing, does it sometimes seem like a new Christian or a non-believer seems to have an easier time receiving a healing than somebody that's been a believer for a long time? Isn't that frustrating? Well, maybe we'll get into that. I mean, I've seen that happen. A non-believer gets healed and saved. Did Jesus heal anybody that was already saved?
No.
He hadn't gone to the cross yet, right?
Right.
So non-believers can be healed, right? Non-Christians can be healed. New baby Christians may have a condition that you've had for a long time, and all of a sudden, boom, they're set free. They receive their healing, and you're going, 15 years. I don't get it. And it can be really frustrating, right? Mm-hmm. So this is just what the Lord put on my heart this week or last couple weeks, getting this together, and I'm just going to tell you, this thing came together really quick and really easy. So I believe this is definitely something he wants us to look at. And the title of this class today is How is Your Temperature? So I just want to preface with this. If something we say this morning hits you a little bit and maybe stings, it's not meant to. But if it's a situation you have, it's a good thing to notice it so that you can get rid of it. Okay?
Okay.
So I want you to go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. You want to get into some eschatology? We're not going to.
I don't know what we're meeting.
End time things. But there are some good things for us to look at in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:15 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. And it goes on further to talk about not being lukewarm, right? So I looked at this in terms of like sometimes a new believer or a non-believer can get healed. They receive their healing right away. And somebody who's been a Christian a long time sometimes does not. And what I recognize is that somebody who's cold, i.e. a non-believer, there's hope for that person. They don't know what they don't know. But they're searching for something. So the person that's cold is on an active search, looking for truth, looking for life, looking for something. And there's still a way to get to that person. Because this is God's own word. I'd rather that you be cold or hot. I mean, obviously, if you're hot, that's great, right? That's a good place to be. But God says, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, then you're deceived. Somebody that's lukewarm maybe doesn't recognize the things that are going on, and they are deceived. So I want us to just be honest with ourselves this morning, okay? Not hypercritical or anything like that, but be honest. And ask yourself, where am I spiritually? If you're hot, that's great. If you're not, then take some stock. We're going to stay in the book of Revelation and go to Revelation 2. And if you just came in, we're talking about how sometimes it seems like new believers or people who aren't even saved can receive healing sometimes easier than somebody who's been saved for a really long time. And we're like confused, why does that happen? So we're looking into some reasons why that could be. Excuse me. Revelation 2, starting with verse 2. Now to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Let me stop right there. Ephesus. I'm going to tell you what the area of Ephesus was like, all right? This is going a letter to the church in Ephesus, and Ephesus reminds me of America, okay? Because Ephesus was a very prosperous place. There were seaports that came in. There was all kinds of merchant activity from all different areas. They would bring things in and ship them out. Like, it was a very prosperous place to live. You can compare that to, like, living in New York or just about anywhere in America where you have access to just about anything you need. With Amazon, you got access to anything you need just about anywhere at any time, right? Mm-hmm. We're a prosperous nation. So I want you to think, when you think to the church of Ephesus, also keep in mind to the church of America, I write these things and say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. You've preserved and have patience, have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Well, that's all good stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. What does he mean by you've left your first love? Anybody want to guess?
They stopped seeking him with their whole heart, seeking him to know him.
Right, they stopped putting the Lord first, right? This happens in relationships sometimes, right? It's called complacency. You don't wake up one morning and just decide to go there. It's progressive. Think of this in terms of, like, here in America. We have so much of the world around us all the time. We're such a prosperous place, right? You got media coming at you all the time in all kinds of areas. Facebook, Twitter, internet, YouTube, news programs, TV shows. I mean, there's always stuff all around. There's the money that you have. You can go do whatever you want to do. There's just so much of the world coming at you and is available all the time that it chips away at you if you're not careful. Right? I want you to notice all the good things that were happening with this church. They were patient. They didn't bear with evil. They labored for his name's sake. They persevered. They didn't become weary. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I found that in my own life sometimes, where I still know God's word and I love God and I'm sticking to what he says. You can't change me on what I know is in my heart is right. I haven't become weary. I'm still doing the right things, but sometimes I'm not doing them for the right reason. It's because I know it's right. Not always because I'm so in love with God that I just love what he loves and hates what he hates. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not that we mean to to get complacent or anything like that. It's just that we're not staying on top of things. And what's happening is that the world is sowing doubt into your heart. Because the world will not sow truth. God's word is the truth, right? So as far as healing goes, what does the Bible say about healing?
By his stripes you were healed.
And what's the biggest word on there?
Healed.
Were. Oh. Well, I guess healed is bigger, but bolder. The boldest word there was were. By his stripes you were healed. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. The fact may be that you're sick, but the fact isn't the truth.
Lesser truth.
The truth is you were healed. That's the truth that comes from God's word. But does the world tell you that? Mm-hmm. The world says it's flu season. Mm-hmm. You need to rush off to the doctor all the time. You need to get your vaccination, your flu shot, whatever else. That's the world. Mm-hmm. See, so it's not the church of Ephesus, sometimes the church of America, sometimes ourselves. It's not that we don't believe, right? We know healing is ours. We know by his stripes we were healed. But sometimes the world has sowed so much doubt into our hearts that our hearts have crusted over. You don't even recognize the fact that you've grown a crust on your heart and it's keeping you from receiving healing. So if you've gotten a little complacent, if maybe your heart got a little crusty, is God holding back your healing because of that? A lot of head shaking. The mic can't pick up the head shake, folks. Come on.
Oh, yeah. No.
No. No, God is not holding back your healing. It is done.
Amen.
But your crusty heart, the doubt that is in there along with your faith has kept you from receiving what's already done. See, you can have both. You can have faith because you know the word. Maybe you've already been healed before, but now you're struggling with something else. But when there's doubt in the same camp, doubt is very powerful. It cancels out your faith. This is the condition, the church of Ephesus. They left their first love. They grew lukewarm. It wasn't because they didn't believe any longer. It's that doubt was sown into their hearts through being worldly. So when what happens is your heart gets a little crusty and now you need a healing, but you're starting from behind, right? See, because we're supposed to be that person that's hot, not cold or lukewarm, but hot, that lives in the blessing daily.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be going from miracle to miracle to miracle because that means you're not living in the daily blessing.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Jeremiah 29. I would rather live in the blessing daily than have to fight from behind and try to catch up later on. But this is something you're going to have to choose. It has to be intentional. And it really shouldn't be difficult. Can we all think back to a time when we started in a relationship with a spouse or somebody? You fell in love. And you're thinking about that person all the time. You're at work doing your job, but you're thinking about that person. When can I get off work and go see that person? You know, when I met Kitty, I mean, we were together every night. As soon as I left work, right over her house, I'd go there and, you know, our son was four. He wasn't my, I adopted our son at 4 years old. I'd get there and Kitty was boiling ring bologna for him because she didn't have much money. She was living off like $20 a week for groceries and stuff. So when we got married, we had like $35 a week for groceries. But I couldn't wait to get there and see her. She was in my thoughts all the time. I'd like to say that she's in my thoughts all the time now, too. But you know what? Sometimes I've got complacent. And you know when I recognize that the most? When we start bickering. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I'm not putting her first. And it's noticeable. And bickering starts. Right? Mm-hmm. Same way with our relationship with the Lord. You're putting him first, and then there's no bickering.
Tom and I never do that.
Never ever, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are that good.
I want to hear more about this story later on. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. 13 now. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what?
All your heart.
I think we miss this important thing. I know now this is the Old Testament. I get that, you know, but we can filter the Old Testament through the cross. And the same still applies. When you search me with all your heart. It's a state of readiness. Okay? God's not holding things back, but that new believer or that non-Christian, man, they can receive because they're looking for something and they're primed, they're ready. That's their readiness, right? And God can get a hold of them, get their attention with a healing. But many times, those of us that have been around for a while, we're not seeking with our whole heart anymore because we've gotten used to the lingo. We hear the teaching. We haven't given up on God. We still follow him. We still are against abortion. We still are looking for the right guy in the office that'll have godly principles. We still see how the world is saying everything is good. Everything that's bad is good and everything is good is bad. And we're not for that. Right? We haven't changed. We're still on God's side of things. But we're not seeking him with our whole heart sometimes. We sing the songs, right? How in awe of him we are. You ever catch yourself singing how in awe you are of him thinking about what's for lunch? I wonder when this thing's going to end. I need to sit down. The question is, do you seek him for your healing, or do you seek him for who he is?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I love my wife for who she is, not because she washes my clothes. I love that she washes my clothes. And truth be told, she won't let me wash the clothes. I tend to like to throw everything in one big old thing and be done with it. But even when I will follow her direction, she would rather do it herself. Do you wake up in the morning excited to be a child of God? Excited to hear what he might say, even if it's in your face a little? I can remember a time, oh man, I just was so hungry for God and his word. I wanted to know him. I prayed, Lord, I want to know you more than any person on this earth has ever known you. And it was an honest prayer. I meant it. And I started thinking, man, Paul knew God pretty good. And he got martyred. I said, Lord, I really want to know you as much as anybody can. I really don't want to do that martyr thing. If I have to, though, help me. You know? I mean, if it takes that to get there, I'm being honest with you. I don't know. But is he the last thing you think of before you go to bed? Is he the first thing you think of when you get up? What drives you in your day? Is it worry about the bills? Is it your work? Maybe another person, you know? Is it You've fallen in love with somebody and that's taken the place of God as first love in your heart. There's a balance there, right? Now listen, this is not meant to be condemning, because the person up here teaching this has been right there with you in it. Found myself in every part of this just like everybody else. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we just need a reminder. And I know this is the message that God made for this morning. So if you're in here, you just need a reminder. If you don't need it for today, maybe you need it down the road a little bit to draw on. Matthew 6, 31. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, everyone know what Gentiles are?
Non-Jews.
Non-Jews, right? So, you know, this is Jesus talking to Jews. That's why he uses that word, but we can still apply it to ourselves, okay? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Is not your health and your healing more important than food and clothes? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So what was supposed to come first in this whole scenario?
Seeking God first.
Seek God first. Mm-hmm. Far too often we seek healing first instead of God. We're getting it backwards. We're looking for what's in his hand instead of for who he is.
Hallelujah.
So I looked up that word. Yeah.
He's way better than the doctor.
Way better. Way better. He's the ultimate doctor. So I looked up the word seek, because I don't know, God just said, hey, check that word out. One of the words for seek, as in seek first the kingdom of God, the definition is to worship. Wow, that puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So, worship first. Worship first God, and then all these things will be added onto you. So, man, turn on the worship music and hit the floor, right? Is that what that means? Because sometimes, I'm just being honest with you, sometimes we don't understand the difference between praise and worship. We think that's what worship is. Before church, we're out there singing, and some people really look like they're worshiping, and they are. Some of them are on their face. They're worshiping, yes. But you know what true worship is? A lifestyle, not a song. Worship God means to live your life 100% for him. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. Feed widows and orphans, you know?
Widows.
Widows and orphans. What did I say?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. You said, make widows and orphans? Is that what you said? We're going to be barbarians. Worshiping is about who you are every day, putting God first.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Praise him, worship and praise. You know, giving your offering is worship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think of it that way, right? But it is. Because it's the right thing to do. And if you do it from a heart that says, I don't give to get, I give because I got. That's worship. Mm-hmm. Why am I against abortion? Because God's against it. And man, what he's for, I'm for.
Yeah.
Why am I against murder? Because it's what God's against. That's worship. Worship is putting him before us. So first, put his kingdom first. And then all these things will be added to you.
You know, you're talking about, you know, putting God first, and I think about worship. The first time it's mentioned is Abraham's taking his son up to the mountain as a sacrifice putting God first. Mm-hmm. You mean more to me than this child that I love with all of my
Amen.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
Putting God first.
Right.
Sometimes worship is not easy.
Right. See, you're already in the family. You know, maybe God just wants to grow you to the point where you're not just always looking for something from Him, but looking for Him. Because when you're looking for Him, what happens? All those things are added unto you. We're just getting the caboose in front of the engine here, you know? Mm-hmm. Romans 14:17, you don't have to go there. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking." That's kind of weird, right? "For the kingdom of God is not having a party. It's not eating and drinking. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." You want to understand what that means? It says, the kingdom of heaven is not about religion. In other words, the feasts and the festivals, the eating and drinking. It's not about religion. But worshiping God for the right standing He gave you as a gift. The peace of Jesus that comes with understanding it, and the joy in your position in Him. The kingdom of heaven is about that. Your righteous standing, the peace that comes with that, the joy in the Holy Spirit right there with you, empowering you. We're one with Christ. We have the ability to hear what the Father says. Just like in creation, the Father planned everything out, right? He's the thought behind everything in creation. Jesus is called the Word. He spoke it out. The Holy Spirit was the power that made everything happen. We are one with Christ. We can hear what the Father says, His will. The Bible is God's will for everybody. But there's a specific will for your life that you need to hear specifically from Him. The Word helps you understand when you're hearing directly from Him that it's Him because it lines up with His Word. That's the kingdom of heaven. We have the ability to create as the Father speaks in our ear, and we and Jesus, because when you speak, Jesus speaks with you because you're one.
Amen.
Okay? When it says that you've been made one with Him, it's like, I'm going to use this, I use this all the time, I'm going to do it again. When you make sweet tea, okay? When you pour sugar into a glass of cold tea, what do you get? You get a bunch of junk on the bottom of your glass, right? But if you pour sugar into boiling hot tea, what happens? It melts into the water in the tea mixture and it becomes one with the tea and you have sweet tea and you cannot take one out from the other. Well, in Christ, we are like sweet tea. There's no separating us. So when you speak, Jesus speaks. That's why it's important to be careful what you say. You're using the power of who you are in Him. If you speak negative things, there's power there. If you speak the right things, there's power there. But we have the ability to create because of our oneness with Him, who we are with Him. The Father will speak it to you, you'll speak it out, and the Holy Spirit brings the power to it. That's the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom that we live in. It's not about the religion. And it's not about doing all those right things like the Ephesian church was doing for the wrong reasons. Not out of duty or compulsion, but out of love of your heart. I like this, Psalms 103. Let's go there. I speak this psalm out over myself very often because the end of it talks about renewing my youth like the eagles. And I'm just not ready to be old. So I'm standing on the Word. Psalm 103. Just listen and think about this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name." Can you almost hear the cry of his heart? It's like, man, bless the Lord. I mean, just so in awe. And then he says it again in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It's the heart crying out for how much they love God. And then it says, and forget not his benefits. So what came first? Pouring your heart out in love to the Father first, and then don't forget the benefits. Who forgives? Remember, let's run it through the cross, right? So let's read it like this. Who forgave all my sins, who healed all my diseases, who redeemed my life from destruction and crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. What came first? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Wow. And don't forget all the benefits that come with just loving him. So I'm going to get into how we get back to our first love. But first, I just feel led to give you some of my own story here. And I got to try to make it fit. So I'm going to kind of give you the short version, which starts all the way back when I was 7. That doesn't sound like the short version, does it?
No, that sounds like
I grew up in church, okay? I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 7 years old. And I mean, something happened inside me that was real, and I know it because I wanted to share Jesus with everybody I met. Took my Bible to school with me. I was a chubby little kid, so I got teased about being fat Jesus boy. Aww. Right? And I'd love to tell you I didn't care, and I stuck strong, and I stood up to it, but by the time I was 12 years old, I got tired of being picked on, and I ran. I ran just as fast and as hard as I could away from God from the time I was 12 until I was 35. Thus, the beginning of the decline began. Through the years, seeking after anything but God, fame. I mean, I was really close to being a pretty famous tattoo artist, won all kinds of awards, went to all kinds of conventions, won all kinds of awards. Actually, when I started following God again, I was out walking one morning, and this thought came to my mind, if I just stopped following God, I'd have all the fame I ever wanted. And something all of a sudden hit me like, that was not my thinking, because there was no way I was ever even contemplating walking away from God. So I believe that was an offer from pits of hell. But anyway, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever. I mean, just looking after everything except God. The body started declining. My spiritual state was definitely in a bad place. I got into the point where I was topping the scale at around 450 pounds. Had asthma, high blood pressure. I mean, I'd mow the grass and I'd feel my heart pounding really hard. I was John Candy waiting to happen. Really, I was ready. I was a heart attack just waiting to happen. Then something happened. Back in 1999 or just after 2000, somewhere in that area, sitting alone in my shop, all by myself. My mom had asked me to read my Bible. And like a good son, if I say I will, I do. So I did. And I actually just asked God, I'm like, you know, if you're real, because this is how far I'd gone from 7 years old to, you know, from 12 years old when I started running away to 35. I would argue that he wasn't real. So I just asked, I said, Lord, if you're real, I mean, can you just show me? And it was like, like somebody plugged me into a light socket all of a sudden. I mean, I felt like my hair was standing up on my head and off my arms and everything, and I could hear, it wasn't audible, but I could hear a voice say, you know I'm real, Johnny. You know I'm real. And I stopped running. I stopped running that night. And I promised him I'd never run the other direction again. And this is where it started. Where I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get close enough to him to satisfy me. I wanted to know more. My thoughts before I went to bed were about him. My thoughts when I woke up in the morning were about him. I wasn't seeking him for anything he could give me. I just wanted to know him. was volunteering for all kinds of ministry things because that's where my heart was at. Probably a lot of the stuff just wasn't meant for me to do, but man, my daddy was just happy that I wanted to try things out. So I was at a prison ministry, a hot July day, humid. I mean, I didn't have my puffer with me, I realized. And I'm carrying all this heavy stuff into the prison there. And, you know, here I am close to 450 pounds, asthma, high blood pressure, and I don't have my puffer. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't have my puffer. And he says, you don't need it, do you? And I'm like, no. He says, you'll never need it again.
Wow.
Never need it again.
Praise God.
I hadn't lost an ounce yet. God wasn't dealing with that portion of me yet. Mm-hmm. But he healed the asthma. I didn't ask him to. I didn't even look to him to. Yeah, there you go. A little while later, a few months later, down the road, went a couple days, I realized I hadn't taken my blood pressure medicine. I'm like, oh, I better go check my blood pressure. I've been forgetting. And the Lord said, yes, check your blood pressure. Go ahead. And I checked it, and it was perfect. And he says, you don't need it. I never took it again. Then he took me on a journey of losing the weight. He's like, Johnny, you've trusted me with so much. Let's work on your health. And spent a lot of time praying and fasting, so I didn't know exactly what all that was about, but I knew that God wanted me to just give it to him, and I did. And he took me on a journey where over a course of a couple years, I lost over 200 pounds. When I was hungry and it wasn't a mealtime, I would say, Lord, I need to be hungry for you and not food. Within a few minutes, the hunger would go away till mealtime. I didn't go looking to him for any of those things. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. This is the point. Sometimes we're getting it backwards. We're seeking for the stuff instead of seeking for him. We're already in the family. Get it turned around the right way. So how do we get back to our first love? Let's go to Romans 12. Listen, if you find yourself in this situation or know that you could get into this situation, again, no condemnation. You know, I've heard somebody else say, and I'll just use it because it works, if the shoe fits, kick it off. Right? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. All right, we'll stop right there. So this is your physical or your carnal responsibility. Okay? To present your carnal life, your physical life, to God. It's your reasonable service. In other words, my spiritual life is more important than my carnal life. I can't be driven by my sense of smell, feel, hear, taste, and see. Right? Not everything carnal is sin, but everything sin is carnal. All right? So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Put him first in the physical things as well. All right? In other words, if you find yourself struggling in these areas, then you need to make your spiritual life stronger than your physical life. So maybe you need to do a little fasting. Fasting doesn't change God, okay? Let's make it clear. We don't fast to get God to do things. We fast for us to hear God better. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're putting the physical things aside to hear the spiritual. Okay? So if you find yourself in this situation, maybe you need to fast TV for a while, fast Facebook, fast whatever is sowing doubt into your life. Maybe it's fast food, like a regular fast. You know? But that means while you're fasting, don't just veg out on something else. Spend time with him, seeking him, reading his word, worshiping. In other words, you're taking time that you would normally do some sort of carnal thing and dedicating it to spiritual. Okay? And eventually, your body will quit yelling at you, or your brain will quit yelling at you for the thing that was stealing your spiritual time. And you'll be stronger spiritually. All right? Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what is his good, acceptable, and perfect will. So that again falls into line with, how do we get back to our first love? Stop letting the world sow doubt, worldliness into you. You need to take the steps to counter the wrong things that come at you. It's flu season. Do you speak out against it? Or do you just let it get planted?
Yeah.
Speak it out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as flu season. God's Amen. Word is true.
Amen.
Speak out of your mouth. Condemn those things that are sown into you.
Yeah.
If you're watching a TV show that everybody you know in church watches and nobody seems to have a problem, but God is pricking your heart and saying, you need to stop watching this. Mm-hmm. Don't just tell yourself, well, everybody else does, it's probably fine. God's personal. He knows something in it is not good for you. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about listening to my first love. He knows what's best for me. And if he's my first love and he doesn't like something I'm doing, then I need to pay attention to that because there's a reason for it. He's trying to get things better for me, not worse. All right? So these are just some of the steps we can make to get back to our first love. Start crucifying the flesh. Put spiritual things in more of an importance. Stop digging into the world and start digging into him. Because the world is sowing doubt and unbelief. You haven't turned your back on God. You haven't given up on God. You're still persevering. You're still believing. You're still doing good. But you get a crusty heart by getting doubt and unbelief sown in from the world. And sometimes we just need to slow down and pay attention to what's coming in that is stealing our ability to receive what he's already done. Your healing, remember, is already done. You need to receive it, but seek ye first. Right? God's not holding anything back. Go through Psalms 91 sometime. Look at that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That secret place is that intimacy, that intimate place with the God, with God. And then look at all the things. You'll have to look at it later on your own. Look at all the things that he does when you live in intimacy with him. See, because those things that God has for you like that, those are shared in the intimate times. When you're intimate with someone, that's when the secrets are revealed. That's when those things are released in intimacy. You can't just visit and expect to get the keys to the kingdom. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just visit and expect keys to the kingdom. Right? All right. So I just want to encourage you that if this feels like maybe it could be part of what has been holding you back, then Joanne's going to be up here to pray with you. Come on up here and get some prayer. If you feel like maybe you don't need a healing right now, but maybe your heart's getting a little crusty because maybe you haven't been pressing in, maybe you feel like you're maybe getting a little lukewarm and you want prayer, come on. Okay? Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us to take these things in and not condemn ourselves with them, but seek you greater, that we would seek you first. Bring us back to our first love. Keep us from getting lukewarm. Turn our hearts ablaze forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.